Let the church say amen.
Amen.
God is wonderful. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time God is good.
Yes.
It's so good to see each and every one of you that are out this morning. I know you could have chosen another place to be at, but you couldn't have chosen a better place.
Amen.
So thank God this is the best place to be on a Sunday morning.
Amen.
Good to see you, Brother and Sister Nichols. Norman, I'm sorry. I got it right halfway. It's good for God to have stretched out our lives and given us another opportunity to be here this morning. And before we go any further, let us go to Him in prayer. O Lord, our God and gracious Heavenly Father, You have blessed us once again, O Lord. Father, when we went to bed on last night, we trusted and hoped in You that You would wake us up this morning, and You did. And we're so eternally grateful for that. Father, when we closed our eyelids, we didn't know if the heaviness would allow us to lift them up once again, but You did. Father, we didn't know that whether we would wake up this morning in good spirits or with the spirit gone from us, but You brought us anyway or through the night, and we are eternally grateful. Father, we thank You this morning that You have blessed us to be here, and we pray this morning for all of those who are sick and shut in, especially those of the household of faith. We thank You, O Lord, and we know that this day is not possible without You. Father, we thank You. We pray and ask You, Father, now to bless the leaders of this congregation and their families. We pray that You bless those brethren who have taken part in the services thus far and their families. We pray for all of those who shall come from this point on with their families as well. Father, we thank You for so much, and it's so many things we need to say thank You for. And sometimes, Lord, all we can do is simply but say just a thank You, O Lord. And You know that we care about You and we love You because we believe in You, O Lord. Thank You, Father. Thank You for giving us the cross. Thank You for giving us Your Son, Jesus, to bear on that cross. Thank You for His going to that cross. Thank You for everything, O Lord. Father, we pray for those who are raising their children up, that they may raise them up in a good environment, O Lord, and that they may bring them to church. Not send them to church, but bring them to church, O Lord. Father, we thank You for the leaders of this nation and this world in which we live in. We thank You for the leaders of this state and this city in which we live. And we pray that each block may receive the goodness of whatever it is that You have in store for us, O Lord. Father, we pray that no laws would be made to stop us from worshiping Thee in spirit and in truth. Father, we thank You for everything and for so much. And all we can do, Lord, is many times we just have to be amazed at Your goodness, Your grace, and Your mercy. Father, for this, we are thankful. And we pray and ask all of these and many other blessings in the name of Your Son, Jesus. Let us say, amen. The scripture was read for your hearing from the first book of Corinthians. The chapter was 15, and the verse started at number 12. And we'll revisit them in a little while. Today we want to talk from a subject, it's not in vain. For a brief space in time, let us be assured what life would be like if God simply made man and then left him alone without a helpmate. Or let us think on what if God had after making Eve for Adam, but not provided them food and water, or what is even more importantly, left man in his sin and never provided a Savior nor salvation. These are dark thoughts, but even more darker than all of these thoughts is this one thought. From today's text, the statement was made, if Christ be not risen, We should all shudder at the implications that that thought, if Christ be not risen. If Christ be not risen, our preaching is in vain. But thank God that he is risen. For hundreds of years, preachers have preached the gospel of Christ. Certainly Christ be not, if Christ be not raised from the dead, it would be all in vain. There would be no Christianity as we know it today. The thoughts of man would take over and we would be at the mercy of man's thoughts and actions. For hundreds of years, preachers have stood up to proclaim the gospel, which is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. If Christ be not raised, all of this would be in vain. In verse number 14 of the text of 1 Corinthians 15, the Bible says, "And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching in vain, and your faith is also in vain." Great preachers of yesteryear who not only proclaimed the gospel, but also went through much suffering, would have been all in vain. Isaiah's lesson in chapter 53, where he spoke of Jesus, who was yet to come and die a substitutionary death. John the Baptist, who preached in the wilderness and was beheaded in Matthew chapter 14, for he spoke the truth and he was beheaded for such. Paul, who suffered and was jailed many times for speaking the word of God. Even today's preachers who speak the truth are sometimes frowned upon because they speak from the word of God. And so that's not what people always want to hear. Many people like to hear what's commonly called easily digestible things. Things that do not impose upon the life or the lifestyle that they live. In other words, it's all right as long as I don't have to come to church every Sunday and cut my sleeping time off. As long as I don't have to hear what the preacher says, the Bible says, and not allowing me to think on my own. Oh, yes, there are folk like that. Also, according to that verse 14, it says our faith would be in vain. In other words, our salvation and our services are by faith. Our faith is based in the word of God. God said it, and through our faith we believe it. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, according to Romans 10 and verse number 17. We must believe that God would not have said it if it were not true. If Christ be not raised, then we are still in our sins. Isn't that right, church? Our hope is not in vain. When we come to die, and I'll tell you, I'll make a guarantee to you right now, we all shall come to die. If there were no hope, then there of a resurrection, because all would be in vain. In our text, in verse number 19, look at verse 19, if you will. If in this life we have hope on in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. All believers of Christ hope that one day we shall rise. But if there be no resurrection, our hope is limited to this life only. If Christ be not risen, then there would be no hope beyond this world. Then God's word would be lying to us in about the second coming of Jesus. In Acts 1, chapter 1, verses 10 and 11, where it speaks on Jesus being taken up toward heaven. But in verse number 11, it speaks of Jesus returning in a like manner. Isn't that right, church? If Jesus were not raised from the dead, this would not be any consolation to us, but he shall come back just as he left. So said the two men dressed in white apparel standing by. There wouldn't be any hope for trusting in the Lord. There wouldn't be any hope for trusting in that Jesus will come back. And if you look over with me in 1 Thessalonians chapter 14, in 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, verses number 14 through about verse number 16. But I want us to note verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Oh, you want to be first? You got to trust and believe in the Lord. And your believing and your trust shall not be in vain. The Lord shall return again. He shall descend to earth from heaven. So if Jesus went there, there must be a heaven if he's going to return from there. Heaven must be real, and we must continue to have hope and hold out. And I know sometimes holding out sometimes wears us thin. But you know what? There's not a better hope that you can have than to trust in the Lord and believe in him. When I think on how man has learned to come so far in this lifetime, I think about how that some years ago, some of the diseases that we have conquered now and have cured were not possible some years ago. And I'll tell you, even in my lifetime, I've seen a lot of things that have went in the opposite direction. And I ask myself this question: if it were not for God, what would have happened to man and his thoughts, or what will happen to man and his thoughts? Thank God the Lord is risen. We know from the word of God that the Lord is risen. Look at verse number 20 of the text. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruit of them that slept. Christ has risen from the dead. He has risen to become the head of the body, which is the church, and through faith, all that are his will be united to him because of his resurrection. Because of his resurrection, we can look forward to our own resurrection. Because he lives. Because he lives. We know that Jesus has risen because Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 6, tells us how that the ladies came to visit his grave, and that the earth quaked, and an angel of the Lord confirmed to the group, he is not here. He has risen as he said. Then the lies began to circulate. Some theorized that Jesus never really died, but he simply passed out. Some theorized that followers of Jesus stole his body. Others theorized that the Jews stole his body and hid it. Still others theorize that none of this really happened like the Bible said it did. But I trust in the Lord, and I trust in the Bible, in the Word of God. Most Christians believe in the biblical version, where it teaches us that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and rose again on the third day according to 1 Corinthians 15 and verses 1 through 4. Let's look at it for a moment, if you will. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also if ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. I don't believe that we believe in vain today. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And if you want to continue on, verse number 5 says, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. But in verse 6, after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at one time, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. Oh yes, Christ is risen, so our faith is not in vain. Our prayers are not in vain. Our preaching is not in vain. None of this is in vain that we do. Christians believe that the Bible is right and that they believe that Christ died for our sins. I believe no false theories, no made-up tales, and no guessing about what happened. The Bible already tells us what happened, and if we are to believe the Bible, we must believe what it says. Christ died for us according to the Scriptures, but He was buried and arose on the third day according to the Scriptures. The version we believe in is real, it's truth, and it's the power to save. And if Christ be not risen, then the word would be a lie. There would be no truth according to Isaiah chapter 2 and verse number 2, where he prophesies the reference of the Lord's house being built. That would not be true. No need for Jesus to have hung on the cross. In John chapter 19, we would still be in our sins if Jesus be not risen. For no reason for hope, because there would be none if Christ be not risen. But as I said earlier, thank God Jesus arose and we can live our lives in hope. Thank God for the church, because it lives, and because He lives, we are in the right church. We may not be, you may not say, consider yourself to be in the right building, but if you don't, you are still in the right church. So thank God for being in the right church. We are serving the right master. Thank God for His thoughts and in His ways that make more sense than ours. His ways and His thoughts make more sense than ours ever will. Thank God that He has risen from the grave. And I tell you just one more thing as I move on here this morning. I know it's kind of warm, but we are going to be out this afternoon, and you can enjoy the afternoon. But this morning, I want you to focus on Jesus Christ and His death, His burial, and His resurrection. For no man can come to the Father except that he come by Christ. And we must go by Christ if we are to see the Father in peace. Isn't that right, church? So when I think about it, look at verse number 23, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruit. Afterward, they are Christ at His coming. You want to be Christ at His coming, you need to believe and trust in Him. You need to obey Him. You need to live your life like you trust in Him. And you need to give all your doubts and fears, turn them over to the Lord and let Him work it out for you. I think that sometimes when man learns something, he sometimes forget about what God has already taught us. God has already taught us that He is alive. The Bible has already taught us that God, He is alive and He is well. When I think on my own self, my own life, and I'll tell you the truth about it, church, I didn't know when I started this road called life, I didn't know how long I would be here, just like you didn't. But thank God He has left me here, and I can give a word of kindness and a word of to the Lord in my lifetime. I thank the Lord for giving us this privilege and this opportunity to serve Him. I thank the Lord for giving us all that He gives us. But you know something? I don't understand. When people understand the concept of one church, how come they don't attend that one church? I don't understand how that if God, Jesus died, was crucified and buried, and then rose again, how they don't understand that. I don't understand how that if the church is right, how can so many be wrong? I don't understand how that if the church is the right church, how come we all just don't flock and flow into it? Like the Bible said back in Isaiah 2 and chapter 2 and verse number 2, I believe it is. how that the house of the Lord shall be built in the mountains, and that all nations shall flow into it. I don't understand a lot of things in life. I don't understand what makes the sun come up every day, and I know since it's beyond my understanding, it must be because there's a God, there is the one true God that's pushing it up every day. I don't understand how just at the right and the precise moment in the night skies, the moon appears. So there must be God who's pushing it into its place. I don't understand how the stars can hang in the sky and just not fall, but every now and then they tell us that we have shooting stars. I don't know about a shooting star, but one thing I do know, I know the maker who put the stars where they're at, and if he decides to shoot one across the sky, I trust and believe that he knows what he's doing. I trust in the Lord. I trust in his grace, and I know that our faith is not in vain. I know that our preaching is not in vain. I know that there's hope and that our hope is not in vain. Thank God for letting Jesus rise according to the scriptures. Do you believe this morning that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again the third day? If you believe that, you've got the basis for the gospel. The gospel cannot be written by me. The gospel was not written by me. The gospel cannot be redone by me. It's already here. It's already done. The gospel cannot be changed because of me. Only thing I can do is just preach and teach the gospel. And I hope that that's what I'm doing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for giving us your gospel. Thank you, Lord, for giving us your son, Jesus. And there are many who are not members of the body of Christ. You come by hearing, believing, repenting, then confessing, and then being baptized. What a day for a baptism. Won't it be wonderful if some would come forward and say, I want to put on the Lord. Won't it be wonderful? Wouldn't it be wonderful? Then to those who have already made the commitment, but somewhere you've walked astray, I ask you just one question. Have you been to God and asked him for forgiveness? And then you can come before the church, ask the church to pray for and with you, that you may receive strength to continue to carry on. If this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.